it's a whole lot easier to follow someone if you know where it is they're going. If we have two or three cars and we are leaving Charlotte to go to Atlanta, and we get on Interstate 85 and we're headed south, and something happens that we get separated, we know that the people in front of us or the people behind us, whoever it is that we've gotten separated from, we know the direction in which they're going. And so we have a certain amount of assurance and confidence that if we keep going in the direction we know they're going, we're going to get back together at some point. I want to share with you this morning that what I am asking God for in my own life and in the life of this church. There are a lot of things that God has been doing in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole over the last few years. We've had revivals that have broken out in Pensacola, revivals that have broken out in Toronto, St. Louis, lots of other areas. I don't know how many of you are aware, but there are services now that people are having, and there's a gold dust that falls over the service, literally something that can be seen and touched and picked up and felt. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is this. I'm not. If those things come along the road of heading from here to where it is I want to see us go, that's great and fine. But the ultimate end of where I want to see us go is this. I believe that, as I shared with you last week, that each of the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle in the wilderness represent a move of God. Martin Luther in the Brazen Altar, John Wesley in the laver, the Azusa Street Revival in the candlestick, the charismatic movement in the table of shewbread, leaving only one piece of furniture left, and that being the altar of incense. And the altar of incense is indicative of worship. And I believe that God is calling His church to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Once you get past all of that furniture, there's only one piece of furniture left. It's the Ark of the Covenant. It has angels on each end with their wings pointing back to each other. And God, through what we call a Shekinah glory, would manifest Himself between the wings of the cherubim. I believe that worship leads us into a manifestation of the glory of God. And what I am praying to see, now, this morning in the elders' prayer meeting, I prayed, Lord Jesus, come and come right this minute. If Jesus were to come before I can get my next thought through my head and out across my lips, won't hurt my feelings a bit. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. But should He choose to tarry, my heart's desire is to see Him literally, not figuratively, literally manifest the Shekinah glory of His presence physically manifested in our fellowship. I'm talking about a fall on us where we fall before Him, where the glory fills the temple and they could not stand to minister. Now, do you or do you not believe that God will meet the desires of your heart? That is the desire of my heart for my own life, as well as for the life of the fellowship of this church. That's where I'm going. That's what I pray for. That's what I want to see. That's what I want God to do in our church. I want Him to do it in my life, and I want Him to do it in our church. That's where we're going. This morning, I want to share some important things to you that have to do with moving in that direction. Some of them more important than others, but all of them in their own way important. I asked Marcia to give me a list of the church's income and expenses for the past 9 months. And as you can't see, if you do it like that, if you take a look, if you're able to see that, the expense side has consistently, for the first 8 months of the year, the expense side ran higher than the income side. Only last month was the income side higher than the expense side. Now, if you take all of this information, if you add up the total income and the total outgo for the past 9 months and divide it by 9. It will give you a monthly average. Our average expenditures... Well, let's do it this way. There we go. Our average income is... Is that right?
Yeah.
Average income is $89,41.65 a month. Average outgo, $10,884.72. That is a deficit on average of $1,943.04 a month. Now, the question that you would ask is this. How in the world has the church survived for the past 9 months with an average of a $1,900 per month deficit? Because there were men who came before me who were faithful to what God had given. And they created for us some savings that were able to carry us during this transition time. God supplied before we knew we had a need. Okay? Now, that... Guys, some of you are looking at me like, oh my God. No. Forget all that. Ray looked at this yesterday, and you know what his first question was? Are you afraid? And I said, no, sir, I'm not afraid. Then I got to look, see what that second word was he asked me. He said, then are you plotting? And I said, no, I'm not. Do you know that if the second answer had been yes, the first answer would have been a lie? Because if you were afraid, you would be plotting. Am I afraid? No, sir, I am not. Am I plotting? No, I am not. What am I doing? I'm just informing you. I'm just letting you know where we are. Because I want you to understand the big picture and the overall scheme of things. Alrighty? Now, $1,900 a month has been met. All of our bills are paid. Nobody's standing at the door going, you know, you owe me money. Okay? Because of the faithfulness of men who have come before us. But we've about wiped that out. Okay? Now, the other thing in all of that is, too, is that we had some expenses that we incurred that were one-time sorts of things. We paid a little less than $2,000, $1,500, $1,800, something like that, because one of our air conditioners went out. We had a lot of expense in the retirement celebration dinner. There was a whole lot of things that have happened in the last little bit that we don't see happening in the future. Okay? I'm not ready to retire yet. Okay? And we pray a blessing over our air conditioners and the heat. Amen? So there are some things that we don't anticipate coming up again. But let me tell you this. If you take June, July, August, and September, if you take the income of those 4 months and divide it by 4, take the expenses of those 4 months and divide it by 4, and figure out your monthly deficit those 4 months, it drops from $1,900 to just a little over $1,300. Now, why is that important? That's important because that's vacation months. That's when, typically in the life of a church, your offerings drop off anyway. June, July, August, September. People spend their tithe on their vacations. And actually, during the vacation months, our deficit per month was less than it has been for the entire year. See, I told you some good news in here. Alrighty? Now, what are you trying to say to us? I'm just saying if we'll be faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. And that's all I'm asking. Now, because I also know how, or at least some ways, in which the devil works, let me answer a question that truthfully I've not heard yet, but I want to make sure that the enemy doesn't try to tackle you with it, okay? Well, if the church is averaging a $1,900 a month deficit, sure looks like an awful lot of money's been spent in your office. How many of you know the devil will whisper something like that? Okay? The church has not spent not one cent. The new carpet in there was something I had left over at work from a job that we did there. And my service man and I came down and we laid it. And because it was being done in the church, he didn't charge me a cent to come and do it. I bought the desk off of a friend of mine, paid for it out of my own pocket, paid for the chair, mat on the floor. Oh, there's a nice stereo in there. Keep your hands off of it. I impressed Charlie with it this morning. He came in to talk to me, and I just grabbed a remote and pushed it in. It went off all by itself. He went, hey, that's nice. I said, you know, there's a reason why my children call me Inspector Gadget. In fact, he said he'd like for me to work on an idea of being able to turn that thing up and down by remote control, too. So we may work on that. But I paid for that. The paint, the painting that was done in there, my wonderful painting wife did all the labor, and I was just her gopher. And we used paint that was left over from when we painted the inside of our house a couple of years ago. The church has not put not one cent into the redecorating of the office. Now, once again, let me tell you, nobody has said any of that to me. Okay? But I know that if I present one side of it, the enemy likes to come along and go, well, it looks like they're spending money on this, and yet he said they didn't have it. Pastor Jim's office. The expenses for Pastor Jim's office, we paid every penny of it. No, just kidding. Pastor Jim and Miss B. Pastor Jim and Miss B took care of the expenses for their office. Okay? So don't let the enemy whisper anything about that to you. Alrighty? Now I did find me a couch for my office I can't afford to buy. You can help me out with that if you want to. That can be the church's. Alrighty. I want to show you something else. If I can have the guys help me. No, it's not a sleeper unit. I found a little.
Wish it was.
Well, my wife wishes it was, and I have somewhere. I can have somebody dry to go when she kicks me out. No, I found a little small love seat that would fit perfectly in the limited amount of space that I have in there, and it's $375 is how much it is. And I'm working to try to see if I can't put that together. What you are looking at here, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't have... In fact, I gave you guys all of them. Can I have one, please? Thank you. What you're looking at here is an organizational flow chart. Now, how many of you can tell that I'm an administrator? That's my gift. Yep, Mr. Gadget, I'm an administrator. But let me tell you this, guys. Look this direction for a second. Okay, we're going to go over this. I'm going to explain it to you. When you build a playground, you put a fence around it. You know why? So that the children can run and play and scream and holler and go every direction they want to go, and they know where the boundaries are. They know what's too far. They know what's expected of them. You're expected to play and play pretty inside of this fence. What an organizational flow chart is it helps us to understand where the boundaries are. Who's responsible for what? How do things get done? And which way is it I need to go if I have a question? Alrighty? Now, well, let's see. I got so much I want to tell you about this. Let me start with this then. Where you see the words elders, management, ministry, and outreach, those are all headings. Okay? Those are not positions. Those are headings. The elders at Lamplight are responsible for the love concerns. And we currently have 5 elders. And there are their names right there. Okay? So under the heading of elders, their responsibility is love concerns, and these are the guys who are the elders. Now then, under the heading of management, we have a church secretary, which, by the way, guys, October the 10th, I believe it is. Marcia's having some surgery, and she's going to be out of the office for a couple of weeks. Her name is listed on the back of the bulletin to remember her in prayer. We do want to remember. Is it the 11th? Okay. October the 11th, I believe, is when she's having her surgery. So we want to be sure and remember her in our prayers, okay? Under management, we do have a church secretary, Marcia. And then under management is the maintenance of all the things that need to be done. Ray and Janet basically head up that for land, for building and for landscape. Now then, well, let me show you all these sales, and then we'll go back and talk about each one of them. Then under your other two divisions, you have ministry. You have an altar ministry, worship team, dance team. Also under ministry, you come down, you follow this line here down. Men's fellowship, women's fellowship, nursery, toddlers, children's church, junior high, senior high, and young adults. Then in your last heading, you have your outreaches, which are, at this particular time, Ham Prince and Jackie Kemp's ministries are the two that the church is currently supporting. There will be a finance committee meeting in January to discuss ministry outreaches and, you know, and all that sort of thing. But looking at this flow chart for a second, this is what I want you to see. Guys, wasn't it lucky for Noah that God brought the animals after the ark was built? It would be an error on our part for us to ask God to bring people to our fellowship if we don't have the ark built. If we don't have, excuse the expression, if we don't have a stall for them to stand in and be fed, God's just going to leave them out there. He'll let them do what they've always been doing, feeding themselves and taking care of themselves. Okay? Until the ark is built. This flow chart that you're looking at, that's what that is. That's an ark. It's a guideline and a structure of the ministries that we want in place so that when God calls the animals in, when He says, okay, there's a storm coming. Hello? There's a storm coming. And He calls them in, that we will have a place for them to be able to go. Now, looking at that, you can see that we have a lot of areas where we need for people to say, now hear me now, hear every word of this, where we need people to say, I feel that God wants me to do this, do that, or do the other thing. For example, well, let's look at under ministry, let's look at men's, women's, toddlers, nursery, children's church, junior high, senior high, young adults. We have someone in the fellowship who is today praying about possibly filling the position of coordinating a men's fellowship. But we need for someone to coordinate women's fellowships. We need somebody to coordinate nursery. We need someone coordinating toddlers, and so forth and so on. Okay? Those are places that are open for you to be able to say, I feel that God wants me to do this. And you know, I just realized there's something missing off of here. Yeah, what happened to that? I had that redone yesterday after... do me a favor. The ones I handed out yesterday, because I thought this was complete, I tossed them in the trash can in my office back there. How about just looking at... Or you got yours? You the man, you the man. The more I get to know Ray, the more my wife likes him. Under management, when I redid this yesterday, I failed to put this in. We are also, and I'll get this fixed for you for next week. There are actually four other categories. Greeter, we are looking for someone to head up a group of two or three other people, a couple people standing in the sanctuary, a couple people standing at the door, who will greet the family and visitors as they come. Statistically speaking, people, because they are nervous, they're somewhere where they haven't been before, they don't know anybody. Statistically speaking, people have to be spoken to 4 to 6 times. They have to be greeted 4 to 6 times before they ever remember anybody spoke to them at all. Just because they're nervous and that sort of thing. So we're looking for someone to extend that initial hand that says, hi, my name is Don. Welcome to Lamplight Church. Oh, you have children? We have... The nursery is here. The bathrooms are there. Sanctuary is down the hall. And, you know, to be able to make that initial greeting there. Also under management is the finance committee. Finance committee is in place. It's Mike Jolly, Don Hall, Pam Overby, and Pooh Henderson currently are on that particular board. We're looking for someone to run sound. Now, let me just say this real quickly about sound. Last Sunday, I don't even remember now what it was I was doing. But at some point, I stood up there, I stood back there, and I stood up there while there was music going on, and there's three entirely different sounds. What those guys hear up there and what you hear out here is not the same thing. And what they hear and we hear out here, they don't hear it up there. So I've talked to Wes, and he and I are going to put our heads together, and more than likely what's going to happen is we're going to build a small booth back there against this wall here, And we're going to bring the sound man down from up there and put him down here on the floor with us. We will probably, and some of you are going to be really, some of you are going to really love this news, okay? We're going to take probably a couple sets of speakers and put them in the back coming forward and the ones in the front going this way and the ones back there coming this way. And the overall sound will be able to come down because you'll be able to hear it better wherever it is you're in the, you are in the room. Okay? Because some of you think it's too loud already. Yeah? We could. Now, Inspector Gadget does happen to know that there are these FM receiver headphones that you can put on people and they actually can hear whatever's coming through the soundboard. That's what those headphones are for, is for people who are not able to hear real well. So that is not outside the realm of possibility. What, Brian? Yeah, we could do that. We could go to Robert Schuller days, you know, and he used to stand on top of the concession stand at the drive-in theater, and his sermon came out through the little speakers. Yeah, we could try that. But we're looking for someone to run sound for us and to be able to help improve that. And then we're also going to put together two or three people to run a benevolence group for benevolence opportunities that are presented to the church. These people would be responsible for meeting that need and seeking God as to whether or not we're the answer for it. Altar ministry. We have someone who's praying and considering that particular position. Keith's in charge of the worship team. Janet in charge of the dance team. And so forth and so on. Now, you can see from this, as I try to move on here, you can see that there are some opportunities for you to participate in ministry in the church. And that's what we want you to do, is to pray. I want you to pray and seek God as to whether or not you're the person that He wants to either just... You don't have to necessarily be the head, okay? You may not want to be the person who's going to coordinate the schedule for who's going to be in the nursery, but you might be one of those people who'd be willing to work in the nursery, you know, on an occasional time in order to be able to do that. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll have an opportunity for you to be able to express that, probably in cards coming back to us, as the kinds of things that you would like to be involved in. Now, the other thing that this flow chart does for us is this. A couple of weeks ago, I had my friend Bobby come and do a dance for us during our morning worship. Y'all remember that? There are some people who thought that I had coordinated Bobby's dance with that particular morning's message. And they did go hand in glove with each other. That much is true. The truth of the matter is, I had no idea what she was doing or what song she was dancing to. Michelle had just been to Bobby's church, saw Bobby do it, and came home and said, "Don, you need to get Bobby to come do this." We had actually set it for the Sunday before. Something came up on Bobby's end. She wasn't able to make it, so we just moved it a week. And look how well the whole thing just went right together. There is a God. When Michelle came home and said, "Don, you ought to have Bobby come and do this," as the pastor, you would make the assumption that I could go, "Yeah, we all do that. That's fine. Let's do it." No, that's not how it works. I turned around and I called Janet. I said, "Janet," I didn't say, "You're in charge of the dance team." I mean, she already knew that. "I have this friend of mine that I'd like to invite to come and dance a special at the church. Is that okay with you?" "Well, do you think..." She said, "Yeah, that'd be fine." No, she didn't. She said, "Who is it?" Now, what is that? That's responsible. You didn't give me enough information for me to make a decision. I need to know more. So we talked about it for a few minutes, and then she said, "Yeah, that'd be fine." If I wanted to sing a special one Sunday, I wouldn't just come in and go, "Keith, I'm going to sing today." I would come in and I'd say, "Keith, this is what I would like to do." Because, see, Keith is responsible before God. Now, understand, it flows up too. I'm responsible for Keith and for what goes on in there. But let's say Brian wanted to sing one morning. You want to sing for us one morning, Brian? Okay. What Brian would do is he would talk to Keith and say, "I feel led of the Lord. I want to sing one Sunday." Keith would then call me and say, "You got anything else lined up that causes a problem with?" I go, "No." Then Keith turns around and calls Brian and says, "That'll work just fine." That way, see, the whole thing flows up and flows down. And everybody knows what everybody's doing. Now, some of you are going, "Well, wait a minute now. I like this fly-by-the-seat-of-our-pants thing a little better." If we don't have structure, we can't build. If you go back to the scriptures where it says, I believe it's in Romans, it says, not laying again these foundational doctrines, we will go on into maturity if God allows. Now you have to kind of scratch your head for a second and go, why wouldn't God allow us to go on into maturity? And the reason why God doesn't allow us to grow is because the foundation's not laid strong. That's corporately and that's individually. Hello? That's corporately and that's individually. The Lord who was raised in a stone builder's house, in a carpenter's house, knows that you can't build the structure any higher than what the foundation will hold. And in my own life, He won't allow me to grow into any more maturity than what the foundation can hold. Which is part of the... Golly, Dad, I didn't mean to get off on this, but I'm going to tell you this just as a sidebar real quick. Alrighty? Which is one of the reasons why God has such a problem with charismatics. Because we want more and more and more and more and more and more. We want to go higher and higher and higher. And He's going, wait a minute, your base is so weak, I take you any higher than you are, and you're going to collapse on yourself. But we want something that makes goosebumps jump up our spine and makes our, you know, hands sweat and makes me feel good. And God goes, well, you know, we've got to pour a little more concrete first. We've got to do a little more character development. We've got to pull out a few more roots. You know, in my business, we dig a hole 36 inches across, 12 inches deep to build our houses on top of. Do you know that after we dig the holes, we have to have an inspector from the county come out and look at an empty hole before the concrete's poured? You know why? Because he's looking to see if there's any roots growing through that hole. Is there any stumps? Is there anything in there that when we put the concrete in is not going to make the concrete as secure as it needs to be? See, God's a good builder. And He's going to make sure the foundation is strong before it starts to go up. So what happens is that things flow up and things flow down. That's why we've been encouraging you as a congregation that if you have a problem, your first call is to your pastor. Your first call is to your elder. You call your elder and ask them to pray. See, and here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get away from the idea, but if I get the pastor to pray for me, God's more likely to work. We've got to get away from that idea. We may be respecters of persons, but God is not. And what God is looking at is He's looking at the thought and the intent behind the heart. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, and this, you know, everything starts with the head and flows down. There is a camaraderie, a joy, a unity, and a singleness of purpose in the pastor and in the elders of this church. That's why I can share with you the income and the expense report, and it don't frighten me. I don't need to plot. Because the head is doing so well that the body's got to come in line. The body's got to come in line. Amen? I mean, I even like Charlie. I think Martha does. Yeah. Two people like Charlie. Oh, okay. Joyce wants you to know she likes you too, Charlie. Yesterday, in our elders' meeting, I'm rambling on and on and on and on, trying to find the words to say what it is I'm trying to say. And Charlie goes, boom, and spits out about four words. And I go, that's what I was trying to say. That's what I love about you, Charlie. You can boil all my wordiness down to just a couple of words. Get to the heart of the matter. There's a unity and a deference and a deference and a preference to each other that will find its way into the body. Amen. But looking at this chart, I wanted to do two things for you. Number one, I want to show you that there are opportunities for ministry. Okay? We all need to be involved about the things of the kingdom. But number two, I wanted to also give you some understanding of the kind of structure that we're building. What kind of an arc are we looking at? See, this is the blueprint. Once the blueprint's in place, then you can start your building. Because you know what it is you're trying to do. See, if you're building what they used to call mill houses. Anybody old enough to remember what mill houses are? You don't need a blueprint. Because the one you build is just like the one before it, which was just like the one before that, which was just like the one before that. You don't need a blueprint. You just about don't hardly need a tape measure. You know? But when you're building something, you need a blueprint. And I'm going to tell you something, we don't want to look like anybody else looks. We want to be what God is birthing out through us. Amen? And so this structure helps us to be able to see how things are going to work. Now, does that mean that, you know, does that mean that you're going to be off somewhere, Pastor, and we can't get to you? No, it doesn't mean that. Okay? Brian called me and we went to lunch together. We're going to try to do it again next week. The thing is, though, is that where God has us right at this point is that my job, my boss says to me, I don't expect you to work 24/7. I expect you to be available to work 24/7. 3 days this past week, 3 days in a row this past week, I put in 14 hours straight. And today's my only day off, and I'm here working with you. I left the elders' meeting, went straight to work yesterday, and worked until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then went home and started working on this organizational chart, and, well, we'll see how that went. I have even considered taking a demotion in order to be able to not have to pull as many hours as I have to pull. But the problem that presents is if I do that, then it cuts my pay. If it cuts my pay, I got to make that up somewhere else. So you go back to the expense and income, can't be done there, so I got to stay where I am. I also believe I am where I am because that's where God has me. Okay? And I don't like it. I hate my job, and I get up every day going to it wishing I was doing something else. But I give it all I got while I'm there because my Bible says whatsoever my... where God's got me, I got to stay right there till He moves me somewhere else. But the thing is that these men who have been trusted, tried, and proven to be men of God are the ones who are standing beside of me holding my hands up so that we can win this war that we're in. Amen? This chart, though, will help you to be able to see how things flow up and how things flow down. If, like, for example, once the benevolence committee's in place and it has a head, let's say Bruce Jacobs is head of the benevolence committee, all right? And you're at work and someone has had something tragic happen in their life and you'd like for the church to try to help them out. You don't call me. You don't call your elder. You call Bruce. He's the man in charge. If he needs help, he goes to his elder. If he needs help, he goes to the pastor. If he needs help, I go to God and Pastor Jim. And in that order. And there is a difference. And then it goes back down. I don't call Bruce, unless I need to. I tell his elder. This is what I think the mind of the Lord is. And he calls Bruce. He says, Bruce, no, we're not going to do this. Yes, we're going to. Yeah, everybody understand? Anybody got a question on that? Yes, ma'am. It was one that was left out. Thank you very much. It would fall under management. It fall under management as hostess. I made a mistake there in that. I thought of hostess as a feminine sounding word. If I use the word hostess, y'all might could think of a woman. Okay? Because you have a host and hostess. And I changed it to greeter because that's a gender generic. How about that? That was a gender generic word. But what I did was when I did that, I changed the positions and I didn't realize that. So I will know it falls under something I haven't named yet. Okay, I could do that. Right, host/hostess. Anybody else have a question? Before I move on to the next thing. Anyone else? Yes, sir. You can help with the ushering next week. That would be just fine. Sure would. We'll take all the help we can get. Amen? All right, if I can have a couple of elders, I'm going to move on to the next thing. I want to share two things with you, hopefully rather quickly this morning. Major characteristics and major emphasis. And ladies and gentlemen, Once again, it's easier to follow me if you know where I'm going. So let me tell you where I'm going. What I want to do is I want to describe how I see our church. And when I describe how I see our church, I'm greatly encouraged. I am proud, very proud, to be a member of this church. And I think that as a church, I mean, just look at its fruit. And you can't help but be proud. Amen? Just look at its fruit. And you can't help but be proud of who we are, what we are. And we may be small. We may have a building stuck in a difficult place to get to. But we have a tremendous amount to offer to a lost and a dying world. If you were to say, how would you describe, or I'm using the word characteristics, what are the characteristics of Lamplight Church, or how would you describe Lamplight Church? You would say that its worship is contemporary. It's a whole lot more contemporary than it was when we were in a Baptist church, amen? Its lay leadership is highly valued. Its lay leadership is highly valued. Let me just say this in as kind a way as I can. When I talk about the unity that is in the eldership, guys, it ain't always been that way. There was a time when I was real miffed at them and they were real miffed at me. And they tried to kill me and I tried to kill them. And God said, y'all play pretty. And changed our hearts and straightened us out. Amen? Amen. I got Bryce to say amen anyway. Lay leadership is highly valued. Some of you are going to really like this one. Clergy and congregants, that's you all, usually dress informally. Ain't that good? I was thinking to myself this morning, look at them children up there with tennis shoes and blue jeans on. Isn't that disgraceful? You're right, I didn't. Because how many of you know it's okay? Okay? It's okay. Tolerance of different personal styles is prized. This morning, let me back up even. Last night, my wife and I ran to do a quick errand. We got in the car and cranked it up. I had forgotten that the last time I had been in a car, I was in there by myself. What that means is, when I'm in there by myself, that means the radio was up loud. It was up real loud. And the minute the car cranked, she jumped and I grabbed the radio. Because I had been listening to Mylon Lefevre, and I like it loud when I listen to Mylon. She don't like it loud. In fact, she don't like it, so I said, cut it off. But there's a tolerance. She doesn't care if I... You know, she doesn't say to me, because I don't like Mylon, you shouldn't listen to it. There's a difference between, Charlie, our preferences and our practices. There's a big difference between our preferences and our practices. And just because one person likes one thing and one person likes something different, one of the major characteristics of this church is that there's a real tolerance for those personal styles. It may not necessarily be our style, but you're free for it to be yours. All under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, of course. Okay? But there's a tolerance of that. You're going to like this. You ready? The gifts of the Spirit are affirmed. The gifts of the Spirit are affirmed. In other words, we recognize the Spirit when we see it. And we encourage each other to operate with the gifts that God has given to each individual. There's a strong biblical content to what it is we do. One of the things that we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, this mailing that we're going to send out, and Pastor Jim has already started working on this for us, we're explaining things like, why are there guys standing over there against that wall? Why, when the music starts, is there a box brought out to the middle? What is that candlestick at the front represent? What's that food on that table over there in the corner? And everything is explained biblically. And anything in there that says, well, what we like to do is. Well, I ain't never been to a church before had musical instruments like that. Well, let me show you where that is in the Bible. A strong biblical content. If it ain't a God, if it's not in His Word, we don't want anything to do with it. Earnest in prayer. My word is actually passionate. Passionate about praying. It's amazing how much time myself and the elders spend praying with each other. We prayed for a long time before our elders meeting started yesterday. Prayed this morning from 9 to 9:30. Came in here and prayed. Men ought always to pray. That way you won't faint. A compassion for the lost. This is what I'm praying that God will birth within us. Is a compassion for the lost. Jesus said, "How I would have taken you under my wing. Whosoever will may come." The will of the Father is that none should perish. We need to share in that will. Now this is one that I have. This is one that drives me. I have a vision for what people can become. I have a vision for what people can become. You cannot tell me I can't. Well, I can't do that. I can't be that. I can't accomplish that. Oh, yes, you can. If God wants you to do it, you can. All that's got to happen is you got to die. And I'll be glad to kill you. But as you decrease He, the scale always works every time, just like this, because He's connecting it in the middle. And there is absolutely nothing in His will that you cannot do. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing that's impossible for God. Amen? Have a vision for what people can become. Strong lay ministries. See, this is what the flow chart's all about. The flow chart is about strong lay ministries where we are involved corporately in the things of the kingdom. And not just depending on or waiting on somebody else to do it on our behalf. All right, number 11. You're going to like this one. You ready? Family feeling, but not exclusive. I bless Pastor Jim and Miss B for having been able to accomplish this. I pray to God that we will maintain it. A family feeling that yet still reaches out and welcomes others. You know, y'all know my daughter Rebecca and her husband Patrick. Patrick was the one that had the four-wheeler accident sometime back. For the last couple of years, maybe as much as 3 years, on Thanksgiving morning, I invite all of my family over to my house and I fix breakfast. For the last couple of years, Patrick's father has come. Now, I just invited Mom and Daddy and Kent and all his family and Lisa and all my family. But Patrick's father came. He passed away just through June. Is that when it was June? He passed away in June. Michelle and I are already thinking towards this Thanksgiving thing. And I'm already saying to her, you know, I hate it that he's not going to be able to be with us this year. I have this family feeling. I want to get together with them and serve them breakfast on Thanksgiving Day. But it's not exclusive to just them. Now, if all of y'all are coming, you need to let me know, okay? Although we generally have enough left over, we could feed all of you, okay? But I would like to prepare for you. But it's a family thing, but it's not exclusive. I don't even know who invited Dan. I know it wasn't me. But it didn't bother me a bit that he came. He's a good man. That's what we want to have as a church. We cross socio-economical classes. Yep. Socio-economical classes. In other words, there's the really, really, really poor people like me than all the rest of y'all. I think this is a wonderful characteristic to have. The congregation is both independent and interdependent. We're not associated or affiliated with any particular denomination, but we don't consider ourselves to be special or elitist over others who choose to be. We are independent and we are interdependent. We recognize we're not the only loaf on the table. Amen. And the last one of these, we have a passion for the outpouring of God's Spirit. That's what I was saying to you this morning. My prayer is, oh God, pour out your Spirit. Have I got that? Am I moving too fast? Let me give you another second. Major emphasis. Now, please see the word major. Because on this first one, this is what I want to explain to you. We do preach Christ as Savior. We do preach Christ as Savior. But our major emphasis is Jesus as Lord. Jesus is Lord. I never have understood. Y'all understand the expression preaching to the choir? That you're already telling the converted that they need to be converted? We do put an emphasis on Jesus as Savior. and emphasis. But the major emphasis is on Jesus as Lord. Do you know what the most detrimental witnessing tool is in the world? Christians. And do you know what the most effective tool for winning the world to Jesus is? Christians. And when Jesus becomes Lord, we become effective. When we positively display that we have something somebody else wants, not a matter of, come to Jesus, look how good He's been to me, He'll be good to you too. But when we are able to say, for 6 months, I can't do this, and now I can do this, then we'll say to the world, we got something that you need. And it's all because Jesus is Lord. From Jesus the Lamb to Jesus the Lion. Our major emphasis is, we're not needing to win. We already won. There are things that are stopping victory, certain victories, from manifesting themselves in our life. But the victory is not what's in question. Boy, did this make you feel good or what? I mean, this is good stuff. This is why the gospel is called good news. Okay? When we pray for someone to be healed, the question never crosses our mind, can God? Nor does it cross at least my mind. I'll speak for my own self. It never crosses my mind, does He want to? Never crosses my mind. Oh God, do you want to heal? Well, then the skeptic would ask, well, if He wants to and he can, why don't He? Well, see, that comes from the premise that you think there's something wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God. There may be things in my life that He doesn't heal me because He's trying to teach me something. The problem is not with God. The problem is with Don. The problem is not who prayed for me. Well, I asked Charlie to pray for me and get well, so it must have been that I didn't need Charlie to pray for me. I need Bryce to do it. See, once again, we get back to the same talk about last week. Is the problem on the inside or the outside? Problem's on the inside. What keeps Don from walking in perfect health before God is Don. Not anybody or anything else. But see, the lion is the lion. You know how you defend a lion? You just open the gate and get out of the way. That's how you defend a lion. Just open the gate and get out of the way. Our major emphasis, now Jesus, and please hear me once again, major emphasis. Jesus is the Lamb, but we emphasize that He is the Lion. The victor, the victory is already won. Now we just got to move the obstacles to keep us from getting into it. Hot dog, that's good stuff. It's good for me, but it ain't good for nobody else. We talk about from the cross to the crown. We don't minimize the cross, not by any stretch of the imagination. We don't minimize the cross, but we want to talk about the crown. The God we serve is not still hanging on a cross. The God we serve is risen. Amen. And His enemies are at His footstool. Amen? That's what we want to talk about. Hot tamale. We move from justification to sanctification. Justification, that's called salvation. Sanctification, that's walking that salvation out. If you come to me and we're talking about a problem that you've got, okay, it could be you need to be saved. Could be. But if you're saved, then what we need to talk about is your sanctification. Walking that thing out. Getting out of our lives whatever it is we've got to get out of our lives in order to be whole and complete. Working with those attitudes and mindsets and prejudices and misconceptions that keep us from being sanctified, washed clean by the Word of God. Amen? Hot tamale, here we go. You ready for this one? Saved from death, saved for life. Jesus didn't save us so we could just kind of hang on till He got here. But between now and the time He gets here, or the time that I step over to get to Him, He wants me to live. He wants me to have life. And more abundant. Now, have you got it, Pastor? I got a lot more of it than I used to have. And there's a whole lot more of it I ain't got yet. And as long as I'm still sucking in air, There's more life to be had in Jesus. Amen? We're not going to experience it all on this side of eternity, but there's a whole lot of it we can get a hold of. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the jewels placed in the crown for the believer are not placed in there because we became a believer, but are placed in there because of how much we acquired of Jesus on this side. Hello? The gold and the silver and the precious stones are not stuff we do when we get to heaven to earn. It's stuff we do here. That's why when you get into that argument about can you live sinless this side of eternity? Is it possible for the believer to live without sin this side of eternity? Well, I think it is. There are some who think it's not. How much of a penalty am I going to serve for trying to get there, though? So let's at least err on that side and try to serve the kingdom as faithfully as possible, as we can. And then see the gold and the silver and the precious stones. We are saved from death. But that's not where it stops. We are saved to life. To the life. Yep, me too. Alright, here's another good one. We do not minimize water baptism, but our major emphasis, it's like my daddy taught me. Bless his heart, he thought I wasn't paying attention, but I was. When the Holy Spirit, that's who that is. When the Holy Spirit came and saved on, He dwelt on the inside. That's water baptism. When I got Spirit baptized, all of a sudden Don disappeared. It's a matter of Him having me or me having Him. That's why the major emphasis is on Spirit baptism, because you never really know life until He's got you. Now, you got that? You remember that? It used to be done with a handkerchief, but I don't carry one of them. Should, but I don't carry one of them. Yeah, actually, I have them, George. I forget to pick them up because the only time I'd ever use them was on Sunday. All right, next. From living in the desert to crossing Jordan. From living in the desert to crossing Jordan. What does that mean? That means taking possession of what God had intended in His heart for us to have. Amen. Hot dog. Alrighty. From saying prayers to praying in the Spirit. It's amazing how much more gets done when I ask the Spirit to pray than when I pray. I said it's amazing how much more gets done when the Spirit prays than when I pray. Because His prayer is always according to the will. From denying or fearing evil to doing spiritual warfare. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is a boogeyman. The devil is real. There's a dark and unseen world that's just as real as the world you and I are in. Here to BUT coming. But greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. In any world. That's very good. In any world. We do not have to be afraid of the devil or the darkness. In my business, I want a trip that's coming up in January. And Michelle's like, I don't know if I want to go or not. Because it's out of the country. I said, that is out of the country. I want a trip to Acapulco. And look, I'm going. Oh, I'm not going to be afraid. Because you know what? I know whose life my hand's in. I know whose hand my life's in. Thank you. I know who's, when my mother's eyes crossed, I knew I said something wrong. It's my dyslexia kicking in. When I know whose hand my life's in. Now the enemy can plot all he wants to. He can stick his foot out and try to trip me. He can make all the plans he wants to make. But I am not going to sit in fear. Amen. Because I am not afraid. Amen. Well, but what happens if you do go and you do die? Well, I see Jesus that much quicker then. See, when you understand that I'm not living to be here, I'm living to go there. Another thing my daddy said, I hope you were paying attention when he said this one too. You'll never really learn how to live till you settle the death question. Gosh, that's true. Till you deal with dying, you won't ever start living. And the last thing I'm afraid of is dying. Well, you mean you want to die? No, I didn't say I want to. I got grandchildren. I'm hoping to have great-grandchildren. I've got a wife that I just adore with all of my heart. But I'm not afraid of it. And I'm not going to sit at home and do or not do because I'm worried about what the enemy's going to do. Because he has all, the serpent has already had his head crushed. Amen? Hot dog. From counseling to deliverance. Man, we can sit around and talk a problem through till we blue in the face. What we need is for Jesus to deliver us. You can go to the 12-step program till you've taken all 12 steps. But until Jesus delivers you, that's the only step you really need. The other one, and I got nothing wrong with them. I used to sit on a board of a friend, what they called the Friendship House. Okay? I know I don't have a problem with that. But what it does is it helps you maintain. Jesus sets you free. Now, if you need your 12 steps, that's fine. If it helps you stay where you need to be. But you can be free in Jesus. No matter what the addiction is. Whether the addiction be sociably unacceptable or sociably acceptable. So we don't seem to have much worry about the ones that are sociably acceptable. But an addiction is an addiction, which is an addiction, which is an addiction, which is from training to anointing. It does not say in the Word, and the training breaks the yoke. What does it say? The anointing. Now, please remember, balance is in the middle. Is there anything wrong with training? No. But training without the anointing is a waste. The anointing with training opens up a lot of doors. From guilt for sins, hot dog, to victory over sins. We, whether you agree with me about sinless perfection or not, we do not have to live in sin. We don't have to. Now, we choose to. But we don't have to. We don't have to live in sin. Number 13. From liturgy to spontaneity. Spontaneity. The Bible says, do we all have a gift? Do we all have a song? Do we all have a prayer? Do we all have a word? You know what the answer to that is? Yes, we should. And then what happens is we bring our song, we bring our prayer, we bring our gift, we bring our whatever it is that God has birthed within us, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to orchestrate that and pull whatever it is He wants, whenever it is He wants it. If God has blessed you with the ability to be able to, this is a good example, I guess, just to sing, you need to have a song in your heart ready every Sunday. Every time the group gets together. Because it might be that God is going to pull it. And it might be that He's not. But if you're ready, you let Him choose. Spontaneity. You want me to do what? I want you to be ready for God to be able to say He wants anything out of you and you'd be ready. Let's talk about prayer. We should come to church, my expression is, prayed up. I should be ready to deal with what's in your life because I've prayed before I got here and dealt with what's in mine. So that if God comes along and says, Don, go over there and pray for Jackie. I'm not going, oh God, wait a minute. Do we all have a prayer? We should. And then we just leave it on the shelf and we say, God, if you want it, here it is. And if He doesn't choose to take it that particular time, you go, well, you're Lord. Where are we going to lunch? Because it's Him. It's not us. From singing in the choir, to singing in the Spirit. From an organ to a keyboard. It was always funny to me the years I spent traveling. You get to a church early and you start setting your sound system up. And there will always be somebody who will come to you and say, we don't like it loud. We don't like it loud. You go, okay. Then the organ plays the offertory and moves the back wall about 6 inches. That's not loud, that's majestic. Have you seen the commercial on TV where the guy's in the kitchen and he's dancing around, he's banging pans, and the kid is sitting in the crib and he's banging pans, And the commercial says the only difference between noise and music is in the hearing. I love that commercial. If I'm walking through the den and that commercial's on, I'll stop and watch that dumb commercial. Because whether it's music or not, it's in the hearing. Okay. Now, I don't want to frighten anybody. Are you moving us towards it always being loud? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying my preference, which I wish you would give me liberty to enjoy. I'll enjoy mine loud. Okay? But it's amazing how when it's the organ, it's not loud. But when the keyboard, it is. Alrighty, from hymns to praise and worship. And we get down to the last four. How many of you know it gets better as it goes? From staff ministry to body ministry. I'm referred to as the minister. The truth is, we are all ministers. Amen? We are all ministers. And we take the gospel to every person. Alrighty. I like this one. From predicting to prophesying. I mean, you know, that's a long ways too. There's a lot of distance between predicting and prophesying. From seeing and hearing to discerning. Thank you. From seeing and hearing to discerning. How many of you know that God knows what's going on? That's why we need discernment. Because a lot of times what I see and what I hear is not really what's going on. But God's not thrown off base by what He sees or what He hears. Because God knows. And this last one, I like it a whole lot. From telling to showing. Oh, I can do this, I can do that. Oh, I can do this, I can do that. Oh, show me. In my business, I talk to a lot of people who talk a good talk. They talk a good talk. I don't want to hear you talk. I want you to show me something. Don't tell me you can and then you don't. And the same thing's true in the church. Don't tell the world. They don't want to hear what you got to say. They want to see. You ever heard the expression, the way you live is talking so loud I can't hear anything you're saying? We got to show. We can't just say Jesus heals shoulders. We got to show them that Jesus heals shoulders. We can't just say that Jesus can mend your family. We got to show them mended families. David knew that he could kill Goliath because he'd already killed the lion. His confidence was great in God because of all the victories he had already won. I've won a lot of victories in my life. They let me know not only that God can, but that He will. You see, and I'll try to finish up with this. We look, well, gosh, how do I want to say this? Is there only one Billy Graham because that's all God could make? Or is it because there was only one God could find the price who would be willing to pay the price to be a Billy Graham? We can look at whoever it is that we imagine. I wish I was like Pastor Jim. I wished I understood the word. You know, I wish I could take the word and put it in a practical sense like Don can. All you got to do is give it 10 million hours like I've given it 10 million hours and you can. Wes and I were talking yesterday about musicians and time they spend practicing. It's not that I can't play the guitar. I won't practice. It wasn't that I couldn't play the piano as much as my mother wanted me to. It's that she couldn't get me to practice. I wasn't willing to pay the price. But there were other things. When I was a senior in high school, my choir director at my high school enrolled me into a musical competition for seniors, for high school seniors, that went to a state level. She worked with me an hour in the morning, and then after school, I went and worked another hour with a friend of hers for private tutoring because I was willing to pay the price to try to be the best that there was in the state. Wasn't, but I gave it my best shot. But we can have whatever it is we're willing to work for. The question is, are we willing to work for? It's a whole lot easier to sit around and talk about how good God is. We need to demonstrate how good God is. It's easy to sit around and talk about how good Jesus is to us. But that's not what He called us to do. He called us to take that goodness to a world who doesn't know how good He is. That's what He called us to do. We can be anything in the kingdom we want to be. He didn't set a bar for us and go, that's as high as you can go. He said, you can go. You can go as high as you're willing to go. That we might be conformed into the image of His Son. Now how close to that we get is left in our own laps. I hope that this afternoon you'll take the time to look back over these characteristics and emphases. I said that word right. Emphases. Emphases. Okay, I didn't say it right. If you have the chance to look those back over. These things are true about us individually and about us corporately. And what I'm praying now is that our light will be like a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Will you pray that with me? Father, we do indeed ask You to shine out through Lamplight Church. And Father, we recognize the fact that this building is not the church. This is just simply where the church gathers to receive strength and encouragement from You. So Father, from our own lives, let there be a bursting forth of Your glory, a light that simply jumps out of us and pierces the darkness. And Father, we pray that our motivation for asking You that would be one and one only. That the world would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. To Jesus be all honor and glory, both now and forever.